you're not saved here, you ought to do it this morning. There's no use waiting on another time. The devil will trick you forever into thinking a better time, another day. One of these days, it's going to be our last Sunday in here. It'll be the last time I ever stand and do what I'm doing. The last time you ever sit and listen to a preacher preach. I'm glad God saves old sinners. I'm glad I got in when I did. I'm glad that's one thing I've done right in my life when I got saved. You can do it this morning. Let me show you some scripture. First of all, in the book of Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. Then I'd like to read a verse of scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 3, first of all, this morning. And I want to read some scripture here. And then I'd like to give you a verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Someone beside you does not have a Bible. You might want to share yours with them so that we can read this scripture together. I'd like for everybody to see it. Listen carefully. Everybody get settled down. And we don't want any unnecessary moving around while I'm bringing the message. It's very important that everybody be able to hear. And you pray this morning that God will touch that sinner man, woman, boy, or girl, they could be saved in this service. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse number 7. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse number 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if ye will hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation, in the wilderness. Hear what that verse said in verse 7? Today, not tomorrow, not next week. Today, hear the voice of God today, friend. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2. For He saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation I have assured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. I'd like to preach to you for a few minutes this morning on some reasons why you should be saved today. Now I'm going to give you what I believe are several valid reasons why you this morning as a sinner ought to take your place as a sinner before God. March down this aisle, get down on your knees in this altar this morning and say, God, I want to be saved. I don't want to go to hell. I'm tired of running from You. I want to be saved by the grace of God. Number one this morning, I want to say it is a great sin not to be saved today. It's a terrible sin. Every day, if the Lord wants you to be saved today, then every day you put it off, it's another sin against Him. I believe that every day you live in dishonor to God, you're doing nothing but mounting up sins that you're going to have to give an account for on the day of judgment. And not only is it a sin, but it is the worst sin. I can't think of a greater sin than saying no to the free gift of God after He let His Son bleed and die on the cross. You know, I've heard a lot of people say, well, I don't deserve to go to hell. I've never killed anybody. I've tried to pay my bills. I help out my neighbor. I'm a good person. I don't deserve to go to hell. Let me remind you of something this morning. Person don't go to hell because they fail to pay their bills. Person don't go to hell because they're mean to somebody or because they lie or steal necessarily. A person goes to hell because they refuse the gift of God after God let His Son die on the cross for their sin. That's why you're going to hell this morning. You're going to hell because you will not let the Lord save you after how good He's been to bleed and die for your sin. Heard about this one guy who was in the army, and he got in the war, and he got in the war, and the bombs started flying over him, and he said, God, if You'll let me get home, and if You'll let this war be over, I promise You that I'll serve You if I make it home. When he got home, somebody asked him, did you serve God? He said, no, I didn't. I lived a long time after that in disobedience before I got saved. And they said, every day of my life, it was reminding me, I lied to God. I lied to God. He said I had to live that way, knowing that every day of my life, I lived with the awful fact that I had promised God that I would live right, and I would not. There's somebody here this morning. You had a bad car wreck or something terrible happened, and you promised God. You said, God, if I ever get to church again, God, I promise I'll get saved. I'll do right. But you've lied to God. You've said no to God. And this morning is the day for you to make good on your promises. Somebody said, a lady wrote to a great preacher one time, and she said this. She said, preacher, I know that I've never been saved. But she said, I don't want to bring shame and break my husband's heart. My husband's thought I'm a Christian all these years. I've got him fooled. I've got the preacher fooled. I've got the church fooled. But deep down inside, I know that I've never been saved. And you know what that preacher told her? He said, it's better off that you and your husband face that shame now and go ahead and admit it now than to one day stand before God Almighty at Judgment Day and your husband in the church and everybody be there and it be shown then that you're a fake and that you're not real and go into the lake of fire. Listen, are you teenagers here this morning? Are you saved? Are you saved? It's a sin not to be saved. If you're here this morning and you're not living in the will of God, you're living in open rebellion and sin against God. You say, well, I'm not doing anything wrong. If you're not living for God, everything you do is wrong. Every way and step you take is wrong. Every breath you breathe is wrong. Because it's His will that you be saved. Let me say secondly this morning, not only is it a sin not to be saved today, I think you ought to be saved today because the Holy Spirit of God is dealing with you today. You say, now, preacher, I remember before I got saved, I used to be one of these people. I didn't understand what it meant to be under conviction. I didn't understand what it meant for God's Spirit to speak to you. But I knew kind of in the back of my mind that there had to be something happen. And I knew that. I knew down deep in my soul that somehow you'd know that God was talking to you when He wanted you to be saved. And I wrestled with that, the fact the night I got saved. The night I got saved, I stood back there. I stood near the back. I was sitting beside my cousin. He was standing right over here beside me near the aisle. I was standing right here. That night I stood there and I was 18 years old. I had a motorcycle sitting at home and a little old sports car outside that I rode around in. And I knew in my heart that I wasn't ready to meet God. I knew in my heart that if I died or I got killed on one of these highways, that I'd die and go to hell. I knew that. That night I stood there. There was people started going to the altar getting saved. And my heart started pounding. And I started feeling very uneasy. I started feeling like, why did I ever even come here? Now I've had it. I'm trapped in this place. You may feel like that this morning. The old friend, don't fight him. Don't fight him off. Don't fight God off. That's the blessed Holy Ghost of God Almighty surrounding this morning, wooing you and pulling you and drawing you to the Lord Jesus Christ to save your soul from hell. See, he's a gentleman. This girl turned around to me and she said, Danny, why don't you go get saved? I looked back at her and I said, it's not my time. I didn't know what else to say. I thought, well, when it's your time, you'll hear angels playing on harps. You'll hear your voice call from heaven, my son. You know, pick you up by the nape of the neck. You'll have something pulling you up to the altar like that. But I tell you what, when it's time, when God dealing with you about being saved, you will not hear angels playing on harps. You will not hear voices audibly coming from heaven. You will not feel something grab you in the back of the neck. But I tell you what you will hear. You'll hear God the Holy Ghost speaking to your heart, saying you're a sinner, and if you die in this condition, you'll go to hell when you leave. Listen, friend, that's God talking to you. That's God talking to you. How many of you people in here remember that day when you went to church and the Holy Ghost come where you was and said, come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I love to see them come out of that altar. Out of that pew and come to this altar. I like to see them more when the Lord starts moving and people just break down and start crying and see them walking down that aisle because I'm saying, hallelujah, today is your day. I've seen them come down through here just a whopping their eyes like that and saying, oh boy, and about time they hit their knees, something happens between him and the third heaven. There's a great transaction takes place and God moves down and moves into that heart and the Lord, and I'll tell you what, you get up, you ain't never the same. You ain't never the same. You say, well, that ain't never happened to me. Well, y'all, it happened today. I've heard people say, how do I know God's talking to me? And the answer is, you wouldn't even be sitting in here this morning if God wasn't dealing with you. Unless somebody made you. Now, you may have been forced to come as a small child or a teenager, and you may be a million miles away, but if you got up this morning and put your clothes on and deliberately walked in these doors, that is a sign God speaking to you. You haven't even had no desire to come in here. The Holy Spirit's dealing with you today. And while I'm preaching, there's another voice. Listen, that church I got saved in down there, I'd pass it a million times. Before I got saved, us boys used to, this time of year when it was real hot, we used to do what we call camping out. We camped out, didn't have no tent. We didn't need one. All done, just walk around, ride bicycles. I used to take a basketball and just bounce it all over Nebo, throw it back and forth. We used to go up on the back steps of that church I got saved in and sit there and tell jokes. We'd take a basketball and throw it up against that cement wall and bounce it back and forth. You know, I knew that was a church and I had some respect for it, but never during those times did I have any urge or desire to go in there. I knew I should. I felt guilty because I knew I wasn't right, but I never felt. Well, I'm going to tell you something, when that revival hit down there, God got to moving and saving souls. The Lord started dealing with my heart. He started tugging at me. I went that one night. I went the first night, in fact, on Tuesday. Me and my cousin went. We were shooting basketball up there at the old Nebo school up on the hill. That was before the school burnt down. We were shooting ball up there. And I said, well, it'll be starting in a minute. We shot around a few minutes more. I said, well, it'll be starting in just a minute. That was on April the 18th. And, brother, I stood there that night or that evening, and I said, come on, let's go. Me and him hopped in the car. We drove up there, looked in the back door. See, that was God dealing with me. That was God drawing me. That was God speaking to me, saying, Danny, come. Danny, I want you to be saved. But the devil wasn't giving up. The devil was on my shoulder saying, you don't want to go in there. You don't want to go in that place. And believe it or not, I looked in there, and they was already singing. The service had already started. And the devil said, if you go in there, they're all going to look at you. They're going to laugh at you. They're going to stare at your hair. It's longer than anybody's in there. Look at you, you hippie. Get out of here. And I said, well, I don't want them talking about me. So I got in the car and left. And the devil won the victory that evening. But I'm telling you, the next evening, God was still a-pulling on me. God was still a-dealing with me. And that night I went. And that night I got saved. And that night the Lord moved in, the devil moved out. And it's been different ever since. That's why you ought to get saved this morning. See, a lot of people think, oh, well, I'll come to church Sundays and check it out and all that. Listen, if God is dealing with you today, if you had a desire to get up and come this morning, that's the Holy Ghost put that in you. You don't want to do right on your own, and it sure ain't the devil. Not only that, the danger of hardening your heart is real. You say, what do you mean by that, preacher? I mean this. Every time you sit in a service and a preacher says, come and get saved, and you won't do it, your heart gets a little bit harder. You get that much more calloused against God. See, a lot of people think, well, I'll go to church several times and then I'll see if I decide to, I'll check it out before I get saved. And then by the time I go 6 or 8 months, I'll want to get saved. But the very opposite happens. Every time you turn down God and walk out these doors without the Lord, your heart gets a little bit harder the next time you come in. And it gets easier for you to say no again. Every time you say no to God, it's easier to say no the next time to God. Adults, one half people ever saved are saved before they're 15 years old. If you're past 15, listen to me. If you're over 15 years old here this morning and you're still not saved,
there's less than a 50% chance you'll ever go to heaven.
He said, oh, I got plenty of time. You don't know that. Buddy, listen, we're living in a wicked time. We're living in a time just before the Lord's coming back. Who would have ever thought? Listen, our church is 16 years old. Well, 15 and a half years old, something like that. And I want to tell you something. Back when we started our church, things ain't like they are now. But it's a ball game. I've saw it change over the years. I get to travel a lot and meet people in different places. I've got a lot of trips coming up. I've got to go to Alabama in a few weeks. And then about 2 weeks from now, I'll be out in California. And I'll get to go around to Los Angeles and on the other side over there at San Pedro. And I'm going to be preaching out there every week. And buddy, I've done got my guard up. It's a new world we're living in now. I just read this week something that shocked me that I had to preach up here the other night at the Citizens Alert meeting. They called me and wanted me to preach, and I preached to them on the needs movement and how close we are to the coming of the Lord. They're handing out literature up there. You know what they're saying now? You know that the Boy Scouts are catching it now because they will not allow homosexual leaders to lead little boys? And you know who, you know, being made to look terrible in the whole eyes of the country? The Boy Scouts. I thank God for the Boy Scout. I don't know if the Boy Scouts even supposed to be a Christian organization, but thank God the Boy Scouts has got more guts than and morals than a lot of so-called church hell. At least they got some sense. You don't take a pervert and say, here's a bunch of little 9, 10-year-old boys, take them camping. That ain't unless you're a little bit twisted in your brain. You know what they're saying? Levi Strauss Company, who makes blue jeans and all the Docker pants, shirts, and all that socks, all that material, has cut off giving the Boy Scouts something between $40,000 and $80,000, they said, the article said, worth of support because of that. Because they won't approve homosexuals to be the leader. And the latest thing now is Toyota is the first actual major car chain to make a pro-homosexual commercial to sell their cars. That's right. And it showed a picture of the commercial. It's not in the United States yet. They know Americans ain't ready for that. It's over in France or somewhere. And it said, Toyota, I love what you do for me and all this, you know. And it shows two men standing here. And it says, the family car. And it's got two men and a dog. That's right, brother. Who would have thought that? Who would have thought that 10 years ago? Yeah, I say, well, Brother Danny, how do you know? Because they're putting that in homosexual publications. Who would have thought that? Who would have thought we'd have lived to see that day? Who would have thought we'd have lived to see the day when people would have got on TV and bragged about their immorality and pushed it on. Listen, you're taking a dangerous chance not being saved because your heart gets harder every time you hear. Who would have thought we'd live to see the day where you could see starving kids on TV with their bellies swell out of time and eating a big hamburger and enjoying it while you're watching it? You think our hearts ain't hard in this generation? Do you think our heart, do we know what's going on around us? We turn our heads and enjoy our fun. Brother, every time you say no to God, your heart gets a little bit harder. Oh, I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying. Oh, yes, preacher. It's good. Oh, preacher, I know the military, they shouldn't discriminate against homosexuals unless they give them all a separate room, lock them up. I reckon they should. Listen, we're living in the days right before Jesus is coming back. Just like that. The Lord's coming back real soon. The Lord can come back today. If everybody in here, if every one of us knew that Jesus was going to come today, you would interrupt me preaching. There'd be so many people around this altar crying and begging God that you couldn't even get near it. We said, oh God, God, sorry. But your problem is you hardened your heart. See, you thought I got by with it last week. I'll get by with it another. Nothing didn't happen to me week before last. Nothing ain't going to happen this week. I told you, remember that time I was down there? I told you before,
That Kentucky Fried Chicken, when it was down yonder, the old one. One night it was got dark early because it was in the wintertime. I was sitting in there, and come up a big thunderstorm. About that time, a big old clap, pow, hit down there, and it knocked a bit of the power out. There's people sitting in there eating, laughing, cutting up. It got pitch dark in there. You couldn't even see your hand in front of you. I mean, you couldn't see nothing. And I was about finished up before I even thought. It got deathly quiet in there, just like that, you know. And nobody said a word, and I jumped up and said, "Remember, it'll be just that quick when Jesus comes." And nobody didn't say a word. I just went on out and got in the car and left. Left them sitting in there like that, sweated out. You know, I can imagine when the light come back on, someone said, "Who said that?" Buddy, that's the way it'll be. You think, sit down and say, "Oh, I'm going to sit down and enjoy this chicken, big chicken leg." Bam! The Lord come, you done left behind. That's the way it's going to be. Just like him. Boy, you say, "I've heard it all my life. The Lord said that for that boy come back." You say, preacher's been preaching that for years. I know it, but one of these days, I'm going to be coming across this pulpit. Well, maybe the choir will be singing. Who knows? We might be singing "Paid in Full by the Blood of the Lamb." And all of a sudden, the trumpet's going to sound from heaven. And by the Lord said, the dead in Christ will rise first. And everybody that's saved in here will go right out the ceiling. And leave you in here. That could happen A. That could happen today. You say, "Boy, that scares me." Buddy, it would me too if I wasn't saved. You say, "Well, preacher, I'm having so much fun." Don't give me that stuff. I've been out there in the world. Here's where the world is. It always promises you big time, but it don't ever happen. "Well, preacher, I tell you, I'm all lost my lover, and she left me, and I'm going to this other man, and she broke my heart, and she done this, and she done that." And yeah, I know how it is out there. You're having a blast, ain't you? "Well, I got a ticket, and I didn't even know I was driving." Like I said, they brought them four drunks in one time. Brought them in there before the judge. And the judge said, "All right, which one is driving?" He said, "Neither one of us, Your Honor. We was all in the back seat." Boy, that's a lot of fun you're having out there. Some big fun life you're having. You say, "Well, I'm having a terrible time, you know." Well, bless your little old achy, breaky heart. You're pitiful, ain't you? I'd hate for my favorite song to be talking about my heart breaking. You ought to get over where the life is, man. You ought to get in here where you can really enjoy life. That's right, brother. You say, "Well, Brother Danny, what's your..." Hey, listen, if I go up north somewhere, I get them cool cat young people, and they say, "Yeah, man, he's this, Prince is this, and Madonna." If they say, "Who's your favorite singer's Brother Danny?" I'll say, "Oh, I tell you what, brother, my favorite big group of singing's our youth choir." They said, "Who's that?" I said, "You ain't never heard of youth choir? Man, where you been? What's the matter with you? Our youth choir's my favorite big group. My favorite big family singing's the Parker family. My favorite trio's Sam Bell and the Mountain Girls. My favorite soloist is Big R." They say, "Wow, who's that? You ain't never heard of them?" I said, "I want to be like Mac." No, you ought to want to be like Jesus. I hate to bust your bubble, boys, but you could drink this church full of Gatorade and you ain't going to be like Mac. You can drink all the Gatorade in the world. You ain't going to be like Mac. That's right. He's got ligaments you ain't even got. I'm telling you, the devil will try to keep your mind on anything in the world to keep you from being saved. Last thing I'll say this morning. You know why you need to be saved today? And I don't mean tomorrow, and I don't mean next week. "Well, preacher, I will just want to make sure I'm ready to live." You'll never be sure. You'll never be sure. "Well, preacher, I've seen so many people start out, and they turned out to be a hypocrite. And if I ever decide to get saved, I'll tell you, I'm going to..." Don't you see that's just the devil? He'll keep telling you that till you're in hell. There's a million people in hell this morning he told that same line to. Last thing I'll say, you know why you need to get saved today? Because the uncertainty of life and the certainty of death and judgment. Life is fleeting. A lot of young people don't understand that they're dying. Dying is something that always happens to that man that lives over yonder. Somebody over here had a heart attack. Did you hear about so-and-so? They got killed. They don't realize it does happen to them. They said that a man stayed and helped close up the place where he was helping out working. They said that night on a slippery road, he started saying, "My head, my head." 4 a.m. in the morning, just died just like that. 20-year-old girl, Oklahoma, heard preaching. Next day at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, killed by a train. Never lived to say a word. Never lived to pray. Never got to say, "I'm sorry. God have mercy on me," or repent. Young man went to a meeting one night, got drunk. He went to the services just like this morning. Heard a preacher preach just like me preaching this morning. And said, "I'll wait." After that, he went out and got drunk. Before morning, he got cut in two. But they just had to saw and cut his body in two to get him out of the wreck. Happens all the time. It happens all the time. Young man just was right up the street here. Made a joke about going to hell. And right down there, less than 3 miles from here, wrecked and got killed that same evening. I came by and saw the wreck. You see, that's how uncertain life is. Wouldn't it be horrible if there was somebody sitting here this morning, you sat and listened to me preach, and you said, "Well, yeah, he had some good points and he made me think, and but you just kind of slug it off and went out of here. Got killed on the way home this evening." It does happen. I have a person going out and sitting down on the church bus and dying. I heard a young man got killed in the front yard of the church by a drunk run off the road. "Oh, preacher, I'm going to take my chances." Don't be a fool. That's nothing to change with. You need to get saved today. Be a man. Say, "God, I've went long enough." You've got to face this thing. You're going to die. You're going to face God. Get up out of your seat. Walk down here and get down on your knees and say, "I'm going to get saved today. I ain't going to be a fool." Let's stand together and bow our heads. Every head bowed. Every eye closed. They're coming to get us a song. No one talking. No one leaving the building. Christians, please pray. This could be the moment that God does the greatest thing in the world in a person's heart. My friend, you've tried everything else. You've run long enough. I've given you 5 good reasons why you ought to be saved today. I bet you can't give me 1 reason why you shouldn't. Not one. Not one. Christians, please pray. If you can get a hold of God, pray that God's Spirit will speak to that heart of that young man or young lady. Surely there's several hundred, it's probably well over 700 people here this morning counting what's upstairs. I know there's many here that's never been saved. Friend, can I ask you a question? What in the world are you waiting on? What are you waiting on? You say, "Brother Danny, I just can't stand the thoughts of me walking up there in front of everybody staring at..." Listen, God wants to save you this morning. The Lord wants to save you. Why don't you let Him? This could be the greatest moment of your life. Father, do what ought to be done right now. You know that lady that's here, that man, that boy, that girl, that teenager. Lord, I don't, but You do. And I pray the Word of God will do the work that needs to be done. That Your will be accomplished right here in the service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'll tell you what.